world's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I want to start out for the mea culpa this morning. I don't even really know. I heard somebody use that one time. I think that means my fault, I think. My fault. Isn't that what a mea culpa would be? My fault. I learned something yesterday. You know, I was kind of burdened all, burdened. We use words without really thinking about them. I really was kind of burdened by the camper. And how am I going to get that camper down there? Yada, 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 yada. And Mark Trump steps up and says, Coach, come on, man. I'll help you get that camper down there. And I want to do a mea culpa. Mea culpa is a formal acknowledgement of a personal fault or error. So I had a personal fault or error. Mea culpa. Mea culpa. I'm sorry. My fault. And what is it, Coach, that you're mea culpaing about? Not using the team. Not using the team. And I got, as I was talking to Mark yesterday, I never dreamed. I got that camper. Maybe Mark Trump would want to come over and pick it up and take it down. Why would he want to do that? It's out of his way. It's a pain in the butt to do it. And by doing that, I did just exactly what I don't want to do. I want to throw the ball to somebody and let him run with it. And I said, he doesn't want to carry that ball, man. He's got a lot going on. And when I do that, I rob you of an opportunity to serve. So mea culpa on that. Mea culpa. And God bless Mark. Mark, just out of nowhere, said, Coach, I'll go get that thing for you. I'll be glad to go get it. And Joseph said, I'll go get it. And Clay said, I'll go get it. And I just said, all I could do, I just said, dumb me. And not willing to, not understanding. One of the things we try to do is get you engaged. So I'm thinking, well, golly, I'm the one that drove it down there. I got to go down and get it. Well, maybe Trump said, hey, I'd like to go get that for you, Coach. I'd love to serve doing that. Hey, I'd love, Joe's Valance, I'll go up and get that. I'd love to serve. So I apologize, man. I apologize. And I really want you to know I didn't do it. I don't do it because I want to be in control. I don't do it because I don't want to put somebody out. And so I apologize for that. Anyway, we'll move on. Mark Trump's going to get that thing for me. I called him yesterday, paid the bill. It needed a tune-up, whatever that means. Got a tune-up. Mark's going to get it up, and he'll get it down there for me. I don't have to worry about it anymore. We're going to take it to, pull it up for me, number one, Anchor Ridge. Betty gave us this idea. Anchor Ridge is in the Appalachian Mountains, wouldn't you know it? And what do? Betty tried to tell me this. Of course, I was thinking about something else, wasn't listening. They take campers and fix them up. And so we called them, and yeah, heck yeah, we'll take that. We'll take that thing, get that down here. So Mark Trump's going to drag that thing to Anchor Ridge. What are they going to do with it? They're going to clean it up and fix it up and put propane in and do it, and they're going to give that to somebody else. So, Betty, I apologize to you that it didn't connect in my head exactly what was going on, the need. And folks, I told you yesterday, I can't believe how many campers are sitting unused just from here to Newark. I can't believe it. They're everywhere. Now, listen, don't tell me, hey, Coach, here's one. Can you get it down? I can't. Randy's dragging one from Oklahoma today, dragging one over there. This is something that you, look, your church, you could get involved with. You could find your neighbor. I'll help you out with this. Look, you could go to your neighbor and say, hey, that camper's been sitting there. Would you like to get rid of that? Say, listen, we give you a tax write-off. You can write it to Coach Dave and give you a tax write-off. Or we'll give you $22,000 and give you the other half in a tax write-off, whatever, but you want to get rid of that thing? These people down here need it. See, you can do that. But here becomes the responsibility of it. Then you got to take it down. You got to figure out a way to get it down there. You might look around. Somebody's just sitting around and say, yeah, I'll do it. Heck, I'll do that. Yeah. Takes two people, probably one to drive down. Okay, I'm going to stop talking about that. But this is where we're taking it. Anchor Ridge. Betty tried to tell me, Tears of Joy as families receive campers. Hey, Spencer, real quick. What was the temperature last night down in Swannanoa? Although we're not going to go to Swannanoa. What was the temperature in Swannanoa last night? People sleeping in tents still. I'm going to get off this. Hang on there with me. Just want to know, what was it, Spencer? Oh, it's 53. It's a heat wave down there. Good. And it's going to go to 42 and 25 and 30. It's going to be cold. So God bless you all. Mea culpa. I'm sorry. I'm going to get more of these things, and I'm going to let some of you guys drive them down there for us. Can't do it all. And shame on me. I should know better. Amen? Amen. Let me play this right off the top today. We're our own worst enemies. We're our own worst enemies. Say, what do you mean, Coach? Every educational institution that you put your children in, well, be careful because private schools, maybe. I worked at a private school. Let me tell you, they're not all Christian. Their focus may be Christian. Doesn't mean the teachers are. Doesn't mean the students are. You're with me on that, right? But I watch this, and I don't know about you guys. Do you lose your children when you send them to college? Anybody out there, raise your hand and say, yep, well. Been fighting ever since, try to get them back ever I sent them to get that education. Understand that we have godless education. We no longer have Christ-centered education. It's not in our public schools. It's not in our public universities. It's not in our private universities. Godless education. So we take our children, we raise them in our homes the best we can, teach them Jesus, loves me, this I know, send them to youth group, do all that stuff, and then pay an unbelievable, exorbitant amount of money to send them to the pits of hell where they're trained to hate Christ. Somebody give me a thumbs up so I know I got at least one friend out there. And some of us spend the rest of our lives trying to get them back. Trying to get them back. Well, how'd they get there in the first place? We threw them into the mouth of the beast in schools. And I don't know if you saw this or not. The assault, I didn't pull it up. Now they're doing the best they can to throw LifeWise out of public schools. Got to get that LifeWise out. Can't be teaching that Jesus stuff in there. No. We're not teaching Jesus in the schools. We're pulling them out of the schools. It's voluntary. We're pulling them out of the schools. Oh, no, you can't do that. We have to put them in class in high school where we teach them that little boys can get their penises cut off. We got to teach them that. You can't be. You with me? That's where we are. The ineffectiveness of the Christian church is scandalous, friends. Scandalous. I want to play this because it just kind of resonated with me, because I know some of you out there maybe getting ready to send your kids to college. Stop. Send them to trade school. We need plumbers, mechanics. Our furnace just had a glitch. Guy can repair a furnace. Guy can clean duct work. See, somewhere along the line, we thought education meant we didn't have to do that stuff. Ooh, those guys that get their hands dirty. Ooh. Any idea what a mechanic makes today? Electricians. We got all of our kids going to schools, going to colleges and studying the crap and ain't got nothing to do with nothing. And then they end up being far lefties. Some of them turning into women. You know what I'm talking about, right? So I came across this Charlie Kirk. He seems to be a pretty good guy. And Charlie Kirk exposes college for the scam it is. So, folks, look, those of you out there right now have children getting ready to go. First of all, get them that. You got to give them a Christian education. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so the foundation that you put into your child, you send them to high school, public high school, and public college, and Christ isn't even mentioned. And you send them to school. It must be good because you wouldn't send them to some bad place. And heaven forbid you get a football coach that praises the team. They could fire him. Try to throw him in jail. Can't be doing that. Can't be talking about God and Christ in school. And then your kids come home and they're confused. They go to youth group and realize, what? Wow. How many of you feel good about having your youth group mentor your child? Wow. Talking about the blind leading the blind, huh? I'm not beating up on any of you today. We have to have a, as JR would say, I'm going to show you something on that too. I'm going to show you two things here this morning. I'm going to really, really get it. Let's go ahead and play that if you would. Spencer, which one did I say? I remember now. Yeah, that one. Play it.
Charlie, I remember a while back when I first started listening to you, you were talking about you were writing a book about why your kids shouldn't go to college.
And that's right.
I remember thinking, wow, that's really controversial. But now I have been awakened, and I see what the need. And so I'm wondering if you're still working on that.
It's coming out in either August or September. It's called The College Scam. And it's intentionally written. It's written as a 10-count indictment against college, as if I was presenting this to a jury to try to persuade you. Because you're right. Most people think college is wonderful. I'll riff on this for just a second. If you follow me, you kind of know this whole kind of deal that I think about for college. College is right for some people. I'd say 5% of the population should go to college. 95% should not. If you may be a doctor or a lawyer or engineer, most people don't go to college for that reason. Most people go to college to go study the humanities, where they learn to hate themselves, to study sociology, where they learn to hate everybody, or they study some other unspecified thing where they learn to hate the country. And so the culture that's been created on campus is one thing, but let's just talk about the pragmatic sense of it, right? Which is, we have a generation of young people that are borrowing money they don't have to study things that don't matter, to find jobs that don't exist. And we act as if this entire cycle works, the cycle of indebtedness. And I'm in the business of hiring young people. A college degree means nothing, absolutely nothing. And I know this might be controversial. You know me well enough to not care and to trust me when I say this, which is, if most parents, and this is the controversial part, they don't want to hear this. Most people go to college because their parents are forcing them, right? Even though it's the students that are the ones borrowing the money. And so you say, well, Charlie, you know, what should they do instead? Right? Okay, well, first of all, gap years are great. I took a gap year, ended up during a gap decade, okay? We have nowhere near enough entrepreneurs in our country right now. Nowhere near enough entrepreneurs. We need more young people to start businesses and take risks. Instead, we're saying go through this secular humanist mill where they have sex week and they have this degenerative culture. I'm not kidding. You think you know what's happening on college campuses. You play Russian roulette with your kid or grandkids' values when you send them to a college campus. You may never see them again. And we have a generation of young people that, you know, they're kind of sick and tired. They're like, look, I went to college. I borrowed the money. I did what I was told. I studied North African lesbian poetry, and my life is not better. And we wonder why this whole system is so messed up. I'll finish with this, and I think this will be applicable, is that we have a war that's been waged on the muscular class in our country. And we treat the people that work with their hands as stupid. You might not, but our society does. We treat them as like the smelly, deplorable Walmart people. You know who I'm talking about. The plumbers, the electricians, the welders, the police officers. You realize that we have a 3 million person deficit in the trades right now in our country? Why? Well, here's the blunt truth. Because a lot of suburban moms and dads didn't want to tell their neighbors that their kid works construction. They'd rather tell their neighbors that their kid is an atheist lesbian that went to University of Missouri and is working as an accountant at Ernst & Young, doesn't share any of their values, but at least they're not working construction. You know it's true, by the way. You know that's a big driving force.
Amen.
And so what are we really doing here? Answer, destroying a generation for a parent's ego. That's wrong. So anyway, it's right for some people. If every college was like Hillsdale College, my opinion would be different. Colleges are cesspools, very little redeemable value. I visit them. I visit over 150 of them. So, yeah, the book's called The College Scam. Keep an open mind when it'll be out. We're going to be publicizing it big time, do a whole book tour. But let's just talk about it from a Christian standpoint. More Christian families have lost their children to secular colleges than any other institution. So let's just talk about the future of the kingdom. College has done more damage to American Christianity than anything else we could ever possibly imagine. So that's just a teaser. Thank you.
Wow, huh? Huh? Wow. By the way, our daughter went to Hillsdale College, married a guy from Hillsdale College, didn't lose their faith. Neither one of them lost their faith. Because why? They value Christianity. It's not a Christian college, but it's it's at least an American college. At least it's a founding fathers, personal liberty, constitutional college, Hillsdale College. If you're looking for some, they take no federal funding, no federal dollars at Hillsdale College. So I'm just, I'm telling you, I'm comparing my own experience, our own experience, or some of you out there. How many of you lost a child when they went to college? That they came home an entirely different creature. Let me ask you something. You do understand, don't you, that one of the things that the left did is they infiltrated the universities. Remember this. Anybody besides me remember Kent State and the riots? The riots on college campuses, even back then, they were after the young people. Do you remember that? You remember that? And then what happens? Then a guy like me, let's say 30 years ago, I get a PhD and I'm Dr. Dobbenmeyer and I get hired at some college and I get in there and I'm doing my atheistic thing and teaching the kids that there isn't any God and yada, yada, yada. And then lo and behold, a job comes open in the English department. Well, I'm going to go get my buddy who also is an atheist. And I'm going to do everything I can to get the administration to hire my buddy. And that's what's happened at the universities. If you are not a buddy with somebody, you don't get hired. And so they have an enclave of Luciferian atheists there, humanists in American colleges. And we send our children there. And by the way, we send our children to those same places to become teachers of what? Oh boy, we're doing this to ourselves, aren't we, friends? Huh? We're doing it to ourselves. Go ahead, Mary Beth. You've been waiting a while. Go ahead.
My kids had a teacher in college that taught them a class on the F word. I kid you not.
Hey, Mary Beth, who paid for it? Dummy.
I did.
Dummy. Dummy.
Thanks. I know.
You did it to yourself, right? You did it to yourself.
I didn't pay for it, but my tax dollars did. I didn't pay for it.
I paid for it. Most people paid for it.
Yeah, you paid, right? Right.
Right. So I'm just sitting there looking up here right now. I get up in the morning, I'm all fired up and ready to go and do stuff and everything. And I think about Bill Dunphy. Bill Dunphy still sitting in jail. He's going to get pardoned here soon. What they have done to Christianity and Christian believers in the United States of America is so unbelievably despicable. Roger, I'm going to let you in, and then I'm going to open something up here. Go ahead, Roger.
Well, not only is it the colleges, but when they matriculate into the corporation, and they're a Christian young person, the DEI and all that stuff is thrown at them also. But the problem is we live in a culture that to get a job, it may be worthless, but you need the ticket. And unfortunately, in many cases, the ticket is the college degree because you're being interviewed by somebody with a college degree.
And they tell you, you have to have a college degree.
Yeah. Well, or it makes them feel better. They don't want to hire some homeschool kid that, worked at home for 2 years. I mean, they want to hire somebody who has the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I think it's so important. I think if I was a parent again, I think the trades are where I would give some serious emphasis to.
Yep.
Entrepreneur, start a small business, a big business, whatever. Just because even going into corporate America and you get that job at Amazon and management or whatever, you then are confronted 24 hours a day.
Yep.
With anti-Christian positions. And believe me, your child will not advance in a corporation. They only go so high if he is outspoken or lovingly spoken about his faith. You know, his faith.
Yep,
they will stop him from going any further.
They will.
No, you're laying out exactly the truth. And so is Charlie Kirk, whatever. If you need to be a chemist, probably need some formal education. But
so, Roger, let me ask you something. You're an attorney. Roger, do you have to have continuing education?
Yes.
Why?
I have to be careful. As an officer of the court, I have to be careful on a live okay. program. But
you can breathe.
I think there's a certain amount of money issues going on there.
Oh, yeah?
I think it makes everybody feel good that they're kind of staying on top. And they're not.
Yep.
The classes are not all bad, but, you know, do I really need a class? I don't know.
No, but Roger, you're greasing the hand of the universities. That's what it's all about. Teachers have to have continuing education courses. See, they just hold on. They never let you go. Never let you go. And I went down there when the camper broke down. I drove the camper at 10 miles an hour to this mechanic that I knew nothing about other than the guy down the road recommended it. I went down there and there were cars everywhere and he had four guys working in there and it was like a freaking machine. Boom, 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 boom. Do you have any idea how valuable those guys are? Any idea how valuable those are? But see, like Charlie Kirk said, we don't want to do it because we get dirt under our fingernails. I'm going to tell you, the guy that owned the place down there, he wasn't getting any dirt under his fingernails. He was hiring those other guys to get dirt under their fingernails. And they were hard workers, and they were polite, and their job, their ministry, was to fix that car. Something's happened to us, hasn't it, folks? Really, really something's happened to us. Jeff Klein would know something about it. He's working on cars. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, the last couple Saturdays, I've been up there on that square. For years now, we go up that square. But the last 8 years, the professor of Kenyon College, Joan, has been up. She's up there for 8 years. She, last two Saturdays, I've taken advantage of this. I stand with my sign about the preacher sent to prison right beside the professor. And two Saturdays ago, her sign said, Jesus was, or no, immigrants are good neighbors. Happy Thanksgiving. So I shared with her. I said, tell that to Lake and Riley's family. Why don't you go tell them happy Thanksgiving? And then the next Saturday, she had, Jesus was an immigrant. I say,
hey, Jeff. Yeah. Jeff, what do you think she's getting paid?
Oh, gosh.
How many classes do you suppose she has?
Evolutionary professor at Kenyon College.
Unbelievable. We pay that.
I have a church here in town that lets her come on a Sunday morning sometimes and preach about evolution.
I bet she doesn't have two classes a day.
Well, you know what was funny? You know what I'm taking advantage of? Joan will not talk, at least to me. She'll talk to her friends up there, her Democrat friends, but she doesn't say a word. So now I'm standing beside her, and I said, Joan, some of the things I'm sharing with her, because she won't react. How many times you're in the street, and they rip you and cuss you, you can't get a word in edgewise.
Listen to me, Jeff. She's smarter than you.
Oh, well, that's what
she
I was going to say.
She doesn't react. Because she plays the game better than you. Yeah. She doesn't want to get into debate.
So I shared with her. I said, Joan, one day your knee's going to bow. And the Lord's going to ask you, why'd you destroy all them children in them colleges? Why? And she won't. And I know that's why she won't talk to me. She thinks I'm dumber than a hoe handle. So she won't react to me. So I take full advantage of it and just stand there and chat with
her. And they're paying her big salaries to teach atheism to children. Dale.
Well, I want to open with a question, Coach. Why is it that all intelligent satellites that are out looking for intelligence point away from Earth? Why are they pointed away from the Earth? Let's just start with that one right there. Second thing is because the church and the kids in the church, whatever, is the same. Psalms 127. Before you get to the as arrows are in the hands of a warrior, verse 3, which I believe all children are, Coach, whether of the enemy or of God. All children are, right, arrows of either the enemy of God. But it begins with this, family, fathers, moms, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. You can have all your degrees on the wall. You can have all of this, and you can send your kids to all these prestigious ivory schools. But unless the Lord builds the house, you're laboring in vain. Unless the Lord... What's that, sir?
Christians forgot that.
Unless the Lord, right, builds the house, unless the Lord watches over the city, right, they that guard stand in vain. So and we as homeschoolers, Yep. We take our children and we use them as crests on the family wall. They have never engaged the enemy. They've never been in the fight, Coach. The best thing that's ever happened to me and my family was going to OSA every single year and taking my children every single Saturday to the abortion clinics, to the gates of hell in our cities. My children can stand to themselves. Now, some schooling, some college is important for some kids. My kid's a powered electrical engineer. You need to know something about that stuff. There's no doubt about it. But when he got in there, they wanted to teach him about homosexuality and abortion. And the only one that was willing to resist the teacher, and even the teacher, Coach, I'm telling you, the teacher came up to my son, look, I'll give you an A, drop my class. And my son said, I'm not going nowhere. She gave him a C. It was his only lowest grade in college.
Where were the Lane Christian Buck. Kids?
Lane Buck, come on in, Lane Buck. 52. Get on mute. We like new callers. I hate to use caller. You're up, Lane Buck. R.L., well, Lane Buck figures it out. Go ahead, R.L. Come in. Somebody. Come in. All right, I'm going to shift gears here. I'll shift gears on you real quick, although I'm not. JR, this one's for you. This one's for you, JR. Pull up number six. This one's for you. It all ties together, friends. It all ties together. Go ahead.
Challenges black people have for the next 100 years. The number one challenge is the existential crisis of the black family. The existential crisis of the black family. Marriage in our culture is down to 34%. When we were growing up, it was 85%, is now down to 34%. 71% of our sisters are not married, 29% will never get married, 63% of our brothers are not married, 30% of them will never get married. There is no culture in the history of humankind that has risen to maximize their full human potential without family at the center of their culture. This only exists. This is an interesting but negative statistic. This phenomenon of the existential crisis of our family only exists among African American black people. It does not exist on the continent or anywhere else in the diaspora. So there must be something in the water. We must fix this. It is a lot easier said than done because it is impacting our wealth. Quick statistics. For 350 years, household median income was dominated by white people. They were number one in this country. They no longer are number one. They're number three. And there's a reason. There's a talk I give on the five.
Hold on there. You get it, right, folks? You get it. This is all tied together. Why? Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman, and the devil is going after your children harder than we are going after the lost children. We are teaching our children atheism. Christians are paying taxes to teach their children atheism. You understand that, don't you? And then we paid $30,000 a year to send them to a secular school to reinforce the atheism that they were taught. You know this, don't you? Yale, Harvard, Columbia, they were all started as Christian universities. They've been stolen. Lane Buck, you still want to try to get in? Let me encourage
you.
Keep going. I will, Chad. Thank you. Pull up Hulk Hogan there. Pull up Hulk Hogan.
My Roddy Piper passed away. Roddy Piper. And he was really trying hard to, you know, surrender and try to get his life straight. So, I mean, we would text every single day. Now, in the wrestling business, for 25 years, we couldn't stand each other. We were at each other's throats. I know it's predetermined all that, but he did not like me, and I did not like him. And that's just how it was. We started talking a lot, and he started asking me about my spirituality. He really didn't connect, but he was very curious, you know. He wouldn't surrender. And all of a sudden, he passes away.
And it was an A&E special about Roddy Piper. And the very thing, when they get ready to go to credits, it wasn't a text message, but it was a text message that was a voice message on the text. You know, so he must have. But this text message came in 2 days after he died. And the text message goes, I'm just loving you, my brother. I'm just walking with Jesus and loving you, my brother. And I was like, he would have never said that when he was here.
And Terry, he wanted you to hear it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, see, he would have never said that when he was here. So it's amazing how things work, you know. So I get sick and tired of myself. You know, the two people in my head, the ego and the real I am. I mean, I just surrendered. I just said I can't do it anymore, you know. And I went back to the Bible, you know, and I started reading again. And I'm either all the way in or all the way out. It's a spiritual war in this fallen world to turn to the truth. Seek him and you shall find. To step outside their comfort zone and, you know, accept Christ, knowing that he would heal the land and heal this nation and heal the people. It just seems like such an easy choice for everyone. If you'll just surrender, accept him as your savior. A buddy of mine, Rod.
Boom, huh? Boom, it's so simple. It's so simple. Oh, Lord. Hey, bring up for me, number one, I want to get into this here. Lame Buck, you're making me nervous, man. You're up there, and I want to try to get you in here. You know, it's been kind of a whirlwind, hasn't it, folks? The last, how many years? Do you want to go back? How many years? I guess, really, it was a whirlwind before COVID. But it's been an unbelievable whirlwind since COVID. Bill Dunphy's in jail. Cal Zastro's in jail. I'm on and on. People are in jail. Doing peaceful things. And it goes on, happens so fast, and we don't realize, and boom, boom, boom. And I was reading this yesterday. Merrick Garland ought to, in my opinion, ought to be given a fair trial and ought to be, look, it's called a high crime. And I've said this to you before, a high crime and misdemeanor. A high crime has to do with the position of the one who does the crime. That's what makes it a high crime. If I go do something, it's different than if the mayor of the town does it. He has a higher authority. Not real. You understand what I'm talking about? The hierarchy, right? So a high crime and misdemeanor is done by people who are in high places of authority who we are supposed to honor and respect. They're high. They're high. It's a high crime when the people that we've trusted do wicked things. That's worse than just me doing it to you. That we trust them. So I was scrolling down through this. This kind of blew me away, okay? This has happened to us since Merrick Garland, who, by the way, they wanted on the U.S. Supreme Court. You guys remember that, don't you? Barack Obama nominated Merrick Garland to be on this U.S. Supreme Court. And then somebody tell me, what was so special about Merrick Garland that they wanted him in these high spots? They couldn't get him on the Supreme Court, so they put him as Attorney General. Who is Merrick Garland? That's a whole nother story. And I want you to see the damage of Merrick Garland. We'll run down through this real quickly, okay? Worst Attorney General in American history. Scroll down. Let's just go. Number one. What are some things Merrick Garland did? Boom. He attempted to throw his boss, a president opponent, in prison. You guys remember that, right? Huh? Remember when they went to Mar-a-Lago? When they raided Mar-a-Lago? The Attorney General of the United States. Well, you got to read down through all this. You got to read through all this. The number of multiple times the U.S. Supreme that he tried to throw President Trump in jail. Number one, put us in the chat because I want you to go through on your own. Number two, he raided a former president's home. Think about that. The Attorney General went through Melania's underwear, they say. Well, he didn't. Then he destroyed the evidence. Number three, he covered for Biden's classified document scandals. You remember Biden had documents in his garage? You remember that? Remember that? And he covered for it. In fact, he said an elderly man with a poor memory. They just let him go. High crimes, high crimes, high crimes. How did he get this job? Why did they put him in this job? Who does he serve? He ignored, we're talking about the Attorney General of the United States, ignored a congressional subpoena. And when Robert Hur declined to prosecute Biden for his crimes, remember they said he's an old man, they asked for facing demands to release the audio tape from Hur's interview with Biden. Congress asked him to do that, and he wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. While imprisoning Trump officials for ignoring subpoenas. Steve Bannon went to jail. Peter Navarro went to jail. So Garland, guys on his team, ignored. Guys on the other team, he went after. Keep going. Forget these things, don't we? Leaving fingerprints on Get Trump Lawfare in New York and Georgia. Say, what do you mean by that? Oh, yeah. Those two prosecutors, Alvin Bragg and that wicked woman down there in Fannie Willis, they met with Garland. They met with Biden. The whole thing was orchestrated by the Biden Department of Justice, Merrick Garland. They made it all up to get their political opponents. We forget this, don't we? How about this? Fiddling as SCOTUS faced unlawful intimidation mobs. Remember when they went to Kavanaugh's house and they went to, what's that other guy's name? The lady. Doesn't matter. Mobs went there, stood outside and chanted. And they didn't do anything. Didn't do anything to them. No, didn't do anything to them. Well, you show up at an abortion clinic. Huh? Oh, they come after you, man. 30 years in jail. How about prosecuting peaceful pro-life protesters? Did you know that the Tennessee 10, folks, are you looking at me? There is no federal access to clinic entrance law anymore. The Supreme Court struck it down. In other words, sitting outside blocking an abortion clinic, there's no law against it anymore. There's no law against it anymore. The local people in Tennessee wouldn't enforce it. Garland did. Garland did. Dozens of pro-life activists he threw in jail. Some are still in prison. More than 40 pro-life individuals and organizations are in jail because Merrick Garland made the Justice Department enforce a statute, a law that is no longer a law. It's crazy, isn't it? It's out of control government. Next, scroll down. We have short memories. He targeted parents as domestic terrorists. Do you remember that? People started going to school board meetings and standing up and speaking. And he, Darren Garland's first year in office, parents nationwide began exercising their rights to speak at public school board meetings. And they, in a letter later alleged to be at the request of the Biden administration, the National School Board Association asked Biden to crack down on parents as domestic terrorists. Merrick Garland's idea. Overseeing the FBI targeting of Catholics. As an agency within the DOJ, the FBI is ultimately responsible to the Attorney General. So Garland bears blame for the many abuses of power perpetrated by the FBI during his time. One of those was the creation of a 2023 memo out of the FBI's office painting radically traditional Catholics who attend Latin masses as connected to racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists. He called Catholics who were pro-life radical right-wing terrorists. The Attorney General of the United States. He sued states to keep non-citizens on the voting rolls. Merrick Garland, shortly before the 2024 election, state of Virginia had removed 6,000 non-senators, citizens from the voter rolls, and Garland's DOJ sued Virginia to keep the illegals on the ballot. When Democratic county boards in Pennsylvania publicly decided to count legally disqualified ballots in November, Garland was nowhere to be found. He covered the Biden family crimes. Documents and testimony from IRS whistleblowers revealed that the Justice Department has hampered a tax investigation into Hunter Biden. Garland promoted David Weiss, Attorney General, who had been investigating Hunter Biden during the period in which the IRS whistleblowers said the DOJ was stonewalling the investigation, so he just promoted him. He just promoted Weiss out of there so he couldn't do the case. Oh, yeah, yeah. Weiss ended up arranging a sweetheart plea deal designed to let the younger Biden escape. Targeting IRS whistleblowers who revealed the cover-up. When the allegations of DOJ interference on behalf of Biden's became public in 2023, his entire team were removed from the Biden administration investigation at the request of the Department of Justice. Twisting laws to make a political example out of J6 protesters. This is the most egregious. The guy sitting in jail today who did nothing. Let me read this. Under Garland's DOJ, prosecutors led by attorney Matthew Graves charged more than 1,500 people for their presence inside the U.S. Capitol building on January 6, 2021. As media outlets, congressional Democrats, and President Biden sought to make an example out of pro-Trump protesters, the DOJ invoked laws never before used against political protesters. Never in the history. Sentences ranged from a few days in jail up to 22 years as the DOJ seeks terror enhancement to tack onto their additional time. So eager was the DOJ to punish Bill Dunphy that prosecutors tried to use the 2002 Sarbanes-Oxley Act, written to crack down on financial fraud, to charge hundreds of people with this obstruction of an official proceeding. The Supreme Court shot down this interpretation earlier this year. But let me add this caveat. They are still in jail.
Boom.
That's quite a list, isn't it, friends? These are what they call high crimes. Why? Because he has a position of public trust. If he's corrupt, you see what happens to the system. Roger, come on in. Go to jail. Maybe hang. Go ahead.
Well, you started off offering them a fair trial, but I'm pretty sure none of them people got a fair trial. And I'm pretty sure you're not going to get a fair trial.
That's right. Because it's been weaponized, right? It's been weaponized. Hey, folks, please understand this. The devil hates righteousness. The devil hates Christians. And so when you get people in positions of authority who serve the devil, or as we talked about the other day, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your daddy, you will do. The love of money is the root of all evil. Think of the millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. Your tax dollars, my tax dollars, that are being sent to do wicked, evil things, not only in our government, but in all around us, in our education system. And why? Sorry, folks, always come back to the same thing. The church tells you to pay your taxes. And then they use that against the church. All right, I've given you a lot of stuff here this morning. The devil's real, baby. The devil is real. One more thing, okay? Let's get them all in here. Get them all in here today. Number three, artificial intelligence. You ready for this one? Ready? Huh? This blew me away. Go ahead.
You were the devil. How would you keep people as far away from God as possible without them realizing it?
Hang on, we're going to start this again. He goes on. He's talking into his phone to artificial intelligence, asking, "How would you? You heard it. If you were the devil, what would you do?" Go start it again, Spence, if you can. Sorry, folks. He's talking right now.
How would you keep people as far away from God as possible without them realizing it?
Well, if I were the devil, I'd start by corrupting mainstream religion, turning it into a tool for control, hypocrisy, and division. I'd twist sacred teachings into rules that breed judgment and fear, driving people away from faith and making them question the authenticity of God's message. I'd divide believers against one another, creating conflict within their own community so they'd focus on fighting each other rather than seeking unity or truth. I'd then create distractions that seem harmless but consume their attention, pulling them away from spiritual growth. I'd promote materialism, convincing them that happiness comes from possessions. I'd encourage a culture of busyness, leaving little time for reflection or connection with the divine. And finally, I'd ensure that doubt and fear overshadow faith and love so they become too disillusioned to ever seek a higher power.
Wow.
Lies, deception, and fear. Oh, my. Lies, deception, and fear. Now, some of you are going to say, oh, Coach, that's not legitimate. I don't know if it's legitimate or not. That certainly is a game plan, right? That certainly is a game plan. All right, somebody, come on in. Or I'm going to change subjects. Somebody's got something to say out there today.
Well, that's good. You come up with some good stuff there, Dave. Really good to think about it, because you can see that the attack is organized, that these people that are applying this, they're not idiots, as sometimes we hear them. But, oh, they're an idiot. They're playing. No, it's not. It's brilliant.
The dark side is brilliant. They hire their buddies, folks. They hire their buddies. And come on now, stay with me a second. If I right now, Coach Dave Dobbin, I ran for Congress back in 2012. If I went right now to my local Republican Party and told them I wanted to run for Congress, how many of you out there think they would support me?
Nope. Well, Dave, too, consider this. You know, for God's people, see, he made the sacrifice for us. For the devil's people, they must sacrifice for him. And so if they sacrifice and get positions, then the people below them got to sacrifice, continue. You know, that's what it was. I remember that when, Biden and them were in doing the thing, and the toughest governors in the nation were the Democrats, and they were all the woman in New Mexico, Lujan, they called her, the one in Michigan. There was a few, I can't remember, Minnesota, and they were vying for cabinet positions.
Yes.
And this was why they were so, you know, it wasn't about public health. It was about their political agenda.
That's exactly right. And they hire people. They promote people. They promote people who have their agenda. So do Christians do that? Does the Republican Party, let's play what if, right? If the Republican Party was on the straight and narrow, wouldn't you think they'd come to a guy like me and ask me to run? Wouldn't they go, rather than having these policy wonks around them, who it's their turn to be a Republican representative, wouldn't you think we would go out and look for the best? Do you guys watch what goes on in football? When a guy, head coach, gets fired, do they just hire the next guy? I don't think they do they? They do a nationwide search to find the best person. Do we do that politically? Do we? Well, first of all, we're not even involved with the Republican Party. Is the Republican Party seeking out honest, God-fearing American men and women? The answer is no, they don't want them. Jack, come on in. Jack, are we all in free, Jack?
Time delay.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come in.
You're making my point. You're making my point absolutely completely. Incrementalism cannot be reversed incrementally.
That's
in 2007, when my dad, my preacher dad, was out there, he printed off some stuff about that Muslim freak and took it to every pastor in this huge county. They all patted him on the head, said, "Well, that's nice. That's nice, Pastor Bob. But they, not one of them would help.
We don't
not
get involved
one.
With politics.
He
right?
knew. He could see.
Jack, I said,
this Muslim freak. turned us upside down.
I've said for years, if I offer myself as a candidate, I'm not going to do it. Wouldn't you think all the churches would get together and say, we got to get this guy in office? No, because the churches think I'm too radical. See, they'd rather have some rhino than a guy go in there, fight for Christ. Roger.
Dave, you would not be a good candidate. And the reason is the independents who are in the middle would not come towards you.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I think if you were in Franklin County, which is a Columbus County seat, you could get the nomination for something. There's enough conservatives there that you might. But the problem is they then would not fund you. They kind of token let you be involved, but they would pull the funding or limit the funding so that you would be, they could say, well, we've got somebody there. He just didn't win.
Yeah.
Well, the word would go out. This is not where we're wanting to send money. But I think the issue is the independents in the middle and, they're going to gravitate away from you. So as much as I think you'd be wonderful in there, you're not electable right now.
Well said. That's well said. You know why I'm not electable? Because they've told us in public schools, separation between the church and the state. You can't bring Christian morality into government. Hey, folks, they've taught that to all of our children. All of our children now believe that. And that's why a real Christian man can't get traction or certainly doesn't run as an open Christian. Certainly doesn't, because there are people in the church who don't think a Christian man should be involved with politics. You know I'm telling you the truth. Go ahead, Jeff.
Coach, Pastor Bill said, he said, after I ran for county commissioner, he said, if the Christians would have just come out and voted for you, it would have been a landslide. And I ran on Christian values in the debates and newspaper articles. They still didn't. That's why you didn't get elected. But just a little bit before the election this year, I had a politician here in town, and he never made it to Congress. He said, I remember back in when Coach ran, sabotaged my election by him running, blah, 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 blah. That's why he didn't win, because another, and he's supposed to be a Christian man here in the community. Everybody,
well, praise the Lord.
Yeah. But you screwed it up.
Amen. You folks, you do understand, right? The pastors are afraid to get in politics, afraid to get involved, because they think it's a 501c3 and they're not allowed to do it. And so therefore half the people in the church are voting for the wrong person. In my opinion, why would you go to a church and trust the pastor with your soul, but not your vote? Somebody explain that one to me. I trust this guy to lead me to Jesus and to train up my family in the way they should go. I trust him to do that, but I don't want him telling me who to vote for. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievably stupid. Somebody else, come on in. Nobody?
Keep going.
Well, Chad, I'd have to change subjects to keep going.
Huh? Okay.
Conservatism is pretend salt, Coach. Conservatism is pretend salt.
Okay, hang on more. One more thing. Pull up. Did I do that yesterday? No, I did that. Pull up. It's a long one. Nobody knew. Go to paragraph 7. Pull up number 7. Nobody knew. Can you count down to paragraph 7? It begins with now that quid pro quo Joe has pardoned his son after giving his word as a Biden that he'd never do that. White House press provocateur Karine Jean-Pierre assures Americans that her boss didn't lie. He simply changed his mind over the weekend. He didn't lie. He just changed his mind. That's the kind of, like, the 51 intelligence experts who told the American people that Biden's laptop from hell was really Russian disinformation. You understand this game, how this game plays? How they lie and they lie and they lie and they lie? Biden's pardon flip-flop is the latest example of broad government deception. that I throw in a gargantuan fire under this catch-all saying, nobody knew, except everybody knew. Everybody knew. They knew COVID was fake. That's what this whole article is about. Huh? They knew it. They knew it. They knew it. Of course, the White House spent the last 6 months misleading the American people that the president was fine, right? Huh? Oh, yeah, he was fine. Go to the next one. Everybody knew it. They all knew it. Huh? Government propagandists play this game every day. Nobody knew that COVID came from U.S.-funded weapons in the lab. Nobody knew that flooding nursing homes would make people sick. Nobody knew that flimsy masks and six-foot distancing rules wouldn't be entirely ineffective. Nobody knew that lockdowns and school closures would do nothing to stop a spread. Nobody knew that travel restrictions would wreck the economy. Nobody knew that the isolating children would harm the cognitive social development. Nobody knew that experimental vaccines might not work or that they might come with numerous unknown side effects, except a lot of people knew all of those things. They all knew it. And they silenced the voices. Just as reporters have twisted themselves into knots trying to defend Joe Biden's pardon for his criminal son, government scientists have twisted themselves into knots trying to justify unscientific proclamations and medical quackery. We were working at the speed of science, they often defensively say, like brainwashed cop members repeating the same dubious line. Does working at the speed of science deprive experts of common sense? Huh? Common sense. Since young people are predominantly safe from COVID, it made no sense for colleges to close and send students back home to infect local communities. Since viruses are smaller than holes in a mask, made no sense to require a mask. And since pathogens do not spare multinational conglomerates, it made no sense for Walmart to remain open while mom-and-pop stores were shattered. And since the long-term harms from experimental medical treatments cannot be known, it made no sense for the government to mandate the widespread use. And it's too much to ask the medical community to engage in remedial scientific scrutiny and maintain a modicum of common sense during a health emergency. Nobody knew! Nobody knew. Where does this know-nothingness end? Next, we'll find out that hiring engineers based on their sexual predilections and racial heritage isn't the best way to ensure that aircrafts don't fall out of the sky. Or what if it turns out that encouraging men to take over women's sports means that there will soon be no women's sports? Or what happens if adolescent children who are encouraged to undergo genital mutilation and sterilization grow up to discover that it's just fantasy role-playing? Or perhaps the national governments will learn that mass migration from the hostile regions of the world means homebrewed civil war. Or maybe war hawks will realize that you can fire missiles into Russia only so many times before they fire back. Or maybe central banks will be forced to acknowledge that rampant money printing eventually brings the whole financial system down. Nobody knew. Nobody knew. If any or all of these possibilities come to fruition, allow me to predict that the most prominent scientists, businessmen, economists, bureaucrats, and government ministers all feign ignorance and claim, nobody knew, except they did. They all did. We can see the slow motion car wreck happening all around us. And the problem is that the people who claim to see nothing are the ones with all the power. Vinny, this is a boom.
Boom.
The institutions that run roughshod over us have a lot of plans. They just have no interest in sharing their plans. They seem intent on destroying national borders, erecting globalist forms of government. They seem intent on strictly managing food and energy. They seem intent on censoring public dissent and flooding communication networks. They seem intent on using social credit scores, restricting access to banks. They seem intent on spying on citizens' private lives. They do all these horrifically totalitarian things. And then they tell the citizens, we're doing all of this for your own protection. Trust us. We give you, in your own words, the FBI, CIA, Federal Reserve, IRS, CDC, the deep state. Why? Nobody knew. Nobody knew. See you tomorrow.